Good morning, church family.
Good morning.
On behalf of those that are online, if you say good morning, they cannot hear you. So would you say good morning so that those that are online get Brother Robert Tewksbury? He's online. He wants to hear you. Now, let's say on their behalf, good morning, church family.
Good morning.
Yes. See, we're talking about life today. We need to be alive to make sure that we emphasize the importance. Have you noticed that in the entire verse here, I put in red the if. Look in your bulletin, you also will see when we made the cover, we made a special cover for this Sabbath. We see life. Now you can say life is coming down to the Bible, or is a connection between the Word of God and heaven. And that's where we put life that way on the cover of the bulletin as well. Today's message is the if of life. Many people look at life, but they never pay attention to the most important part of life. What is the most important part of life? The if. Because everything relies on the if. If you take care of the if, you don't have to worry about the L and the E, because L and E will stand for living eternally. And all that makes difference between what kind of life you have and if it's eternal is the if that is right in between there. And you know what if stands for? I am, if you do not believe. Or I am faithful. So today is your choice. And I hope that all of you here, I, F, will stand for our individual faithfulness. I, as the individual that is, have individual faith. Now, this today, I took a little time to be more artistic about the graph because I want to imprint in your mind the concept. What is life? If you ask anyone, if a person does not believe in God, how does the person define what life is? Science has tried so many times to come with an explanation why we are here. How do we have life? Where life comes from? And you know, scientists, they try so desperately to create life. They want to prove all of you religious people you are wrong, because you see, life is not a gift from God. It's something that we can create in a laboratory. But is not possible. They try, they have been trying, they will be trying until Jesus Christ comes. And remember, the Bible does tell us there will be wonders, there will be miracles. And so people sometimes, they can fake. But if you know the truth, you will not be deceived by the deception. Now, life is defined as any natural system capable of performing functions. The reason why I put the word natural there, because some people may say, oh, this machine is alive. We use those expressions today. It says, oh, my phone is dead. Oh, my battery is dead. And so there is a life battery. So we misuse the term life. And we are having use life for anything that moves. But be careful, because not everything that moves is really has life. So life is defined as any natural system capable of performing functions independent of any outside sources. Okay? Now, L, as I mentioned to you, stands for life. E stands for eternity. And what makes the difference is how you use the if, how you respond to the if. And that is what it's all about. The gift of reason. Life, if you do not have a reason, life is worthless. You are not any different than a tree, because there is life in a tree, at least the tree, if it's green and everything else. And when a tree is not having leaves and everything else, and is dry, we say is dead, because life is not there. But that's not the kind of life we talk about. We talk about a life that is a gift of reason. When God created us, He gave us reason. That's why life became meaningful. Makes life also conditional. You notice in the middle of gift, there is if. In the middle of life, there is if. Because it's all conditional. It has all how we use the if. That's what is making a difference. If creates choice. That is one of the greatest gifts of if. Because it gives us the power to choose. Another gift from if, it creates hope. That's what defines what faith is. If you do this, you have hope that that will happen. So it creates opportunity. It also creates indecision, doubt. Also creates consequences, good or bad consequences, is how you use them. And finally, it creates excuses. If I have done this, I could have obtained that. If, always excuses. But you notice what those words get together, what they show you? It's all about choice. If you read it out now, you see it's all about choice. If is about choice. Now life, if you have many choices, the moment that you start making choices, you start creating roots. And then you have to decide, are my roots pulling me towards the left or towards the right? What is really my life all have been all about? The choices that I have made. How many times I have used my ifs? If I use them to create hope, then I go to the right. But if I use my if as an excuse, I'm going to the left. And you know what the symbol of the left is in this case here? Look, there's the storm, everything dried, there's no life. And life is to the words, the right. The divine gift. Life is a divine gift. It's not something that we can just turn on a machine and that will take us to forever. Now, many of us, we use our lives as something that we just got in the store for a dollar. You know when you get something for a dollar in the store and you come home, do you open a safe and put that thing in a safe and make sure that nobody's looking at your shoes to make sure that the combination of the safe, because you want to protect that $1 thing that you want to put in your safe? Anybody here? If you're doing that, you probably are not going well there. Nobody put something that they just bought for a dollar in a safe to protect. We just live there. But what about if you buy something for $100,000? Would that be something that you should put in a safe? So the more precious something is, the more careful we are with it, right? That's not true the way I see some people dealing with their lives. There are people who are using their lives like they were bought for a dollar or less. The way they eat, the way they practice their faith, it looks like they were bought cheap. What we are here today is to celebrate the fact of the value of life. How much your life is worth to God. That's what we are celebrating here. It is a gift from God. A gift that we must preserve at all costs. Because the more dedicated we are to take care of this gift, the more we please the one who gave us this gift. Thank God for His gift that words cannot describe. No one can describe. I like this very much. This is a common English Bible. Thank God for His gift. And I put the Jesus there just for so you know what this gift is all about. Paul, when he was talking about this gift, he was thinking about Jesus Christ left at the cross so that I can have eternal life. Jesus Christ said, I am what? Life. Do you have life? Yes, you do. So it is okay to say that you have Jesus also, right? Because you say, I can breathe. There are a lot of things that can breathe and they don't have life in the sense that we understand what life is all about. Life is only meaningful if life is eternal. Please, don't think about life as just a moment. Life is not a moment. Life is a journey, eternal journey. And I hope your life is eternal journey. If you love me, you do what? You do my will. Why? Because when you do my will, you and I share something in common. I gave you life. I give you my will. I wrote my will in your heart so we can become one. As long as you're one with me, you have life. Now, we use electrical things. For example, the computer is hooked to the electricity. Why is the computer hooked to the electricity? Power. Or another way is that if it's not, eventually we'll die. What about us? If we are not connected, we die. If I would ask one of you here, how many of you here would like to live up to 125 years of age with the same health that you had when you were 20? I believe everyone, even the young ones here, say, I haven't been 20 yet, but I'll raise my hand for that one. I'll embrace that. I have a secret to tell you about life. Why stop at 125? If God is offering you a forever deal, why compromise only for 125? I know why you thought about 125 was great, because it's, oh, I'm too far away from that, so I'll take it. Don't settle for little, brothers and sisters. When he's talking about life, don't settle for little. Don't buy cheap. Embrace quality, eternal quality that God is giving to you. So he says, if you love me, if you really want to live forever, all you have to do, live according to my will, and I will grant you eternal life. Because where I am, you be also. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. Just as I have kept my Father's commandments, and I abide in his love. As I am one with him, and he is life, I am life, you will have eternal life if you are one with me as well. Life in us. We used this last week, we're going to use it again. Because it says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. If we say, I don't need to connect to the power source, I have enough power in me. My battery, oh, it still can last for another 3 hours. And sometimes it happens. Sometimes people say, oh, I look, I still have enough gasoline to get there. And how many people push to the point that they end up stopping a freeway? Don't push, brothers and sisters. Keep yourself connected. And sin is that element that can interrupt life. Sin can turn that if into a negative. I failed instead of I'm faithful. For the wages of sin is death. Sin, the purpose of sin is to bring death. Some people, sometimes they read the Bible and they see, oh, destruction this, destruction that. They say, oh, God will destroy. Death is an act of Abaddon, not Abba. It's not from God. Death is an act of evil. And so death comes upon us is because of sin. But thank God this verse does not stop here. The best part of this verse is coming. Just be patient. It's coming. It's coming. It's coming. There it is. But the gift of God is eternal life. And I put Jesus standing before eternal life so that you won't forget who really is eternal life. Who gives eternal life is in Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans 6:23. So eternal life is a gift from God. It comes to us through Jesus Christ. He said, I am the way. I am the truth. And I am what you need the most. I am your life. I am your life. I am the one who creates you. Now, by this we know that we know Him. How do we know that we have life? How do we know that we have life, that we know life, that we enjoy life, that we will keep life forever? The secret is very simple. If you keep my commandments, if you keep the words of life, you will have life. He who says, I know Him, but does not embrace the life that He gives to His will is a liar. And of course, sin is in them, not the truth. Deception is with them. But whoever keeps His word, which is life, you see, the Bible says, and the word spoke, and there was life. And so the word is life. Truly the love of God is perfected in him or her. But this we know, that we know Him. How? If we live a life exactly the way He lived. He who says abides in Him, out of himself or herself, to walk as He walked. Don't do, just the talking. Do the walking as well. A lot of people just talk, but they don't live what they should live. There was somebody says this. He was the founder of the New India, Mahatma Gandhi. He said this: the problem with Christianity are the Christians. If you remove all the Christians out of Christianity, then the Christianity would be the greatest thing ever. Why? Because he was looking at Jesus and he copied all the concepts of Jesus and he applied to his own religion. He borrowed all the concepts, the no violence concept. The problem sometimes is that we claim to have the truth, we claim to have the life in us, and yet we do not walk as he walked. Most assuredly, I say to you, Jesus Christ says, if anyone keep my word or my commandments or the life that I give, he shall never see death ever again. Isn't that wonderful? Amen. I like to give you advice today, brothers and sisters. Take your Bibles. Take a pen. Mark this verse. And make a circle on that if. And make sure that every time you see this text again, you will understand what Jesus Christ meant, especially to you today. I tell you, if you keep my word, you will never die. You will never die. If you become sick, if you become ill, remember, the devil can take you to sleep, but the devil cannot take your life, because your life belongs to the one who gives you life. Don't allow the devil to deceive you. This is a faithful saying. For if we die with him, for him, we shall live with him because of him, because he is life. Now, thank God for His gift that words cannot describe. Brothers, I'd like to ask, brothers and sisters, I'd like to ask you this morning, as we celebrate the gift of life, have you embraced completely this gift that the Lord has given to you? Live your life well. Honor Him every day. Honor Him with your treasures, with your talents, with your time. Because those that He gives to the Lord will always keep forever. Whatever you give to the Lord will come to you back thousands and thousands of times. So invest well, live well, and you have hope, and you have the gift of choice. At this time, I'd like to mention to you, we are here to celebrate life, not death. This is what we're celebrating here, is the gift of life. At this time, we're going to separate it for the food washing. It's the communion. And communion, as you know, there is three parts of the communion. There is the preparation, and there is the preparation, and there is the preparation. We prepare ourselves. We come before the Lord, of course. As you participate in communion, remember, it's not what you do that will make a difference, but it's how God's grace can embrace you. Look at His grace. It was His grace that gave you life. It is His grace that will preserve your life. So approach Him because of His grace. Jesus Christ said this. When He had finished washing their feet, He put on His clothes and returned to His place. And He asked the disciples, as the same He wants to ask you today, do you understand what we have done for you? He asked them. Then Jesus said, you call me teacher and Lord. Right, so that's what I am. And then He says, now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do yourselves as I have done for you. And then He says, I tell you the truth, no servant is greater than his master, nor is the messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know those things, you will be blessed if you do them. Now there was one disciple that decided to be unique. Now, not me, Lord. Now how can you, being a master, a divine, wash the feet of somebody? You know, he had good intentions. He was well-intentioned. Briefly, I'll say to you, I was one day in a fellowship hall here in a Better Living Center with a trash can, collecting the plates and also cleaning some things on the floor. One brother, a very beloved brother that is not here with us in person, but he's with us. I think he will remember this story. He came to me and said, Pastor, don't do this. Don't do this. This, you're the pastor. This is, let the deacons do this. And I said, brother, let's sit down for a moment. And I sat down with him and I said to him, do you know what they called me? They called me a minister. Do you know what the word minister means? The one who serves. And I hope that I serve by example. So don't think that what I'm doing as a pastor is not dignified what I'm doing. I hope that those that will see what I'm doing will be encouraged to serve as well. Amen. We all a family of ministers. Amen. We all the holy priesthood of God. We all here to serve. And that's what one of the aspects that we learn in communion. Communion is about service. How God served His own life in our behalf. How He laid down His life so that we may have life. And so today, when Peter said to Him, no, you're not going to do this to me. No, there's no chance. Jesus Christ says, unless I do this, Peter, you have no communion with me. So it's very important for us to understand communion is about participating. And I hope you all do. At this time, we're going to separate. This first room here, as you turn the what we call multi-purpose room, that is for the ladies. Okay? Then the next one over there, the class where Sister Elson teaches, the corner of there, that is for the men. Then after that is for the couple, for the couples. Okay? So the two classes there, that way, one is for the men, another one for the couples. And the ladies is going to be here. So at this time, let's stand. And with reverence, let's go there, please. Okay?